Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and in today's show, we'll be talking about conscious compassionate awareness and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you today?
Excellent.
Great.
Yes.
It's a beautiful day here in California.
It is, and it's one of those, at some point, if people are interested, we might do a whole little conversation on that experience when everything feels the way you want it to feel.
Wow.
You know, there's a... at least for me. So I'll just project, and then maybe other people, if they can let us know if they have the same experience. But my life, generally speaking, is pretty much the same all the time. I mean, they're little this isn't that, but generally speaking, I live the same life. I do the same things. And sometimes it's just perfection. Sometimes I just love every second of it. And sometimes it's not that swell. But it's not any different. And what I realize is that it's all based on an internal experience that I'm having.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, what we're conditioned to believe is that the internal condition determines my experience, the external conditions, whichever one I said. Let's start over again. External circumstances control how I feel and what my experience of life is. So if I get life the way I want it to be, then I'm going to be happy. But right. I can't get life the way I want it to be, and that's why I'm not happy. My experience is exactly the opposite. When I have that feeling of well-being inside, it doesn't really matter what the circumstances are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get a flat tire, or I lose my keys, or somebody, you know, doesn't do something that I'm hoping that they'll do, or, you know, even can be something big, and there's still a sense of well-being with that. And so it's just one of those times when there's an extraordinary sense of well-being, and so, you know, life is just a joy. Whatever it is that's going on, it's just a joy. A lot of enthusiasm and excitement and very thrilled about the things that we're doing, and it's a good time to be alive.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Sounds like you've just summarized practice.
Right.
Which is looking at how we get drawn away into the circumstances and let that dictate our experience
of
life.
And really, I think are pretty heavily conditioned to believe that the reason, you know, if I'm not happy, the reason is because he did that or she didn't do that or they are this or I didn't get that job or I don't have as much money or I don't live in the house I want to live in or whatever it is. It seems as a culture we're very conditioned to believe that it's circumstances. You know, you turn on the TV or you go to the movies and the right people, the people that you want to be, their life circumstances often are better than ours, right?
They live like
in,
always.
Yeah, they live in big fancy, unless it's one of those depressing movies or television shows that we don't want to watch anyway. But the whole idea is that, you know, young and beautiful and tanned and appear to have just more money than anybody could ever need, and they live on the beach and they do exciting things, and that's what's wrong with my life, is that my life isn't like that.
Yeah.
And it's just such a lie, really, is the word for it. It is such a lie.
Yes. Fascinating. Hey, I have good news. We have caller. I'd like to welcome Valerie from Fargo, North Dakota. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Fargo,
hi.
North Dakota. That is so exciting.
It's really flat out here.
Yes. Well, good.
That's about, you know, I called back once before, and that was when I was having trouble sitting because of my stomach. And I'm so thankful for this radio show because I heard the same story of a guy who had the same experience where he just burped. And the sitting and the sitting continues. It's like I'm stepping into the fear. I'm stepping into it. I'm so excited that I found you.
Oh,
so excited.
Well, we're so excited to be found.
So I have this, you've already been talking about why I called, of course. That's what always happens.
Don't you love that? Don't you love that? Yeah, when we open up to life, that's our constant experience, isn't it? So something's going on with me, and it seems like everybody is talking about it. It's on billboards. All the articles in the magazines are about it. It's like this whole thing is a conspiracy to provide me with everything I need.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking a course in school called The American Dream, and it's a seminar course, and we go through all this literature, how the American Dream has changed real time, and I'm just like, oh, this is like how conditioning has kind of morphed throughout time, like what the American Dream is. Well, anyway, I am in a household with a girl that I go to school with, and she's been in abusive relationships in the past, and I keep on judging. She's living with her boyfriend, and I'm living in the basement, and I keep on, like, seeing the way they treat each other. They fight really loudly, and it makes me very anxious. And, you know, you've always been talking about that, but I just feel like maybe there's more fear about moving away from that than there is, the real fear is moving away from that, I think, than being there.
Yeah. Yeah, which is exactly the opposite of the way it's presented to you, right? The fear, you're meant to think that the anxiety is because of what's going on upstairs, and yet it sounds like you have the ability in your life not to be in those circumstances. You have choices.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when you take advantage of one of those choices and you move away from this known upset or known anxiety-producing situation, then where's your life going to go from there? And that can be more anxiety-producing than the situation that you're living with.
Yeah, I mean, I know that the people I'm living with are going to take it personally, too. And I'm really afraid of their anger.
Uh-huh.
And it's just like, if I'm afraid of their anger, that means I need to step into it. I mean, because I know how ferocious they can get, and then just be still with it.
Right.
Right?
Well, you know, there are a couple of things about that. I don't believe in making contests, period. And I actually don't believe that it's necessary for us to engage in anything that we can sense is going to produce results that we don't want to take on.
Yeah.
Now, if this were your twin sister, then we would say, okay, you know, really, you got to confront this in some way because you got a lifelong relationship, and there you are. But this is a housemate.
Yes.
Right? So there are all kinds of life circumstances that you could have that would cause you to move out of that house in a way that made everybody completely successful.
Yeah.
Right? So in other words, you find another living circumstance where you can save money.
Yes.
Okay, where who knows? But there are all kinds of things that I'm sure you could create in your life that would be a perfect reason for you not to live there. You could express whatever regret you feel about leaving them, because I'm sure that there are things about each of them that you really like and value.
Yeah.
Yeah, you enjoy them when they're not being scary and trying to hurt each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so you could express all of that, and you could leave these circumstances in a way that everybody felt great about, and you're free of it, and all of that stuff that really would no longer be any of your business is not anything you would ever have to address.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, there are people who would say, isn't that cowardly? And I would say to them, no, it's called not creating more karma. Now, doesn't going off under these circumstances create its own karma? Yes, and if I were you, that's the karma I would choose, the karma of non-violence and avoiding conflict and having everybody feel as good as they can possibly feel about a situation.
Yes. I'm just going to keep working out my own salvation diligently.
There you go. There you go. That's the best we can do, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to thank you.
Well, you're just as welcome as a day in May, and let us know how it goes, okay?
Okay.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Valerie. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. You can reach us today toll-free in the U.S. and Canada, 877-514-7300. That's a toll-free call, and the phone lines are open. If you're abroad, you can call us at +1-858-277-1444. And if you want to get in touch with us when we're not on the air, you can send us an email, and our email address is openair@livingcompassion.org. And finally, archives of all the shows, as Valerie mentioned, are right here at worldtalkradio.com, and you can check those out at your leisure, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Sherry, what do we have coming up in our calendar, in our schedule?
Well, what is this, August?
This is near the end of August.
So for those folks on the East Coast, we're headed out to North Carolina in the next couple of weeks for a practice retreat there in Waynesville, North Carolina, beautiful mountain area.
Yeah.
And then after September, we must be, you have a schedule?
I have a schedule here with some information.
Oh,
a
good.
Little bit old, but it's got the key dates.
Okay, good.
Late September, September 24th, you're going to be in Seattle.
Oh, that's true.
For a workshop
on... Yes, I'm very much looking forward to that.
Radical self-acceptance.
That's correct.
Great.
We just did one of those Saturday in San Francisco, and I thought it was a great time.
I was there myself, and I had a great time.
Yeah, it was very fun. So I'm hoping all the folks in the Seattle, Portland, Vancouver area come and see us, and we'll end a lack of self-acceptance in the Northwest.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Because we've pretty much ended it in the Bay Area.
That is correct. Yeah. Yep.
Wonderful. Again, that's September 24th, which I'm guessing is a Saturday, probably.
It is. Yeah.
10 a.m. to 4 p.m. This will be at the Friends Meeting House on 9th Avenue in Seattle. All of the information you can find at the Living Compassion website, which is livingcompassion.org. And then in October, we have the fourth annual.
I believe it is the fourth,
Fourth annual Bridge Walk to support the African Vulnerable Children Project.
Yes. And we're hoping to, well, of course, every year we have a hope that this year will be our biggest, best one yet. And every year it has been.
That's true.
So it's really working.
Yes.
And we would like to, of course, before too long, turn this into a huge event that people will fly in for. And we just spend a weekend doing a lot of fun things and helping out a lot of kids.
Yes. I don't think I gave the date. That's Saturday, October 22nd, and it's the Golden Gate Bridge. And I've been there the past 3 years, and I think each day has been like 80 degrees and sunny.
Yes.
Which I don't know how many years you can keep that up.
Yeah.
I think it was 90 last year or the year before.
Well, it was funny last year, too, because as you remember, it was on Sunday last year.
Oh, that's right.
And Saturday, it poured all day long, and then Sunday was gorgeous. So, so far, we're feeling very, very blessed, and we have no reason to expect anything other than that this year. And even if it pours, we have umbrellas, and we can still have fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it says on the webpage, rain or shine.
Rain or shine.
I mean, I'm sort of expecting one, but
that's right.
I'm open to whatever's going on. Again, the phone lines are open here. Give us a call if you'd like to talk with us. The number is toll-free in the U.S. and Canada, 877-514-7300. Sherry, we've had a fun bookstore radio show promotion over the past month or two with bookstores supporting Open Air. and encouraging people to call in and get connected with the famous author of all of those wonderful books that are just flying off the shelf.
Wow.
Yeah.
I get that, huh?
Yeah. Oh. There is nothing wrong with you. The key...
That which you're seeking is causing you to seek?
Be the person you want to find.
Mm-hmm. Suffering is optional.
Suffering is optional.
Oh, we could just go on and on. How you do anything is how you do everything.
Sex and money are dirty, aren't they?
The depression book.
Trying to be human.
The fear book.
Aren't
we good?
We are good. Great. So I wanted to mention all of these wonderful bookstores that have been supporting us.
Some of my favorite places.
Valencia Street Books in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
East West Books in Sacramento, California. I've been there.
Lovely spot.
Great place.
Mm-hmm.
Diesel, a bookstore in Oakland and Malibu. The Regulator Bookshop in Durham, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Book People in Austin, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Bodhi Tree Bookstore in West Hollywood, California. East West in Mountain View, one of my favorites.
Yes, it's home.
Town Center Books in Pleasanton, the Mountain Bookshop in Sonora, California.
That was one of the first to carry our books.
Oh!
Way back when? Mm-hmm.
Great. Bronxville Books in Bronxville, New York. Highland Yoga in Denver, Colorado. Malaprops Bookstore in Asheville, North Carolina. And the Integral Yoga Institute in New York City.
That's right.
I think you were there, what? 6 months ago?
Yeah.
3 months ago?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
And there are only a couple of those that I haven't actually been to. So I have to rectify that and get there and meet those folks. But if people live in the area, I hope that they are shopping there. You know, it's a friends don't let friends buy from Amazon.com. You want to find that local, preferably independent bookstore. And support them like crazy.
Yes.
so that they are there, so that
yes.
on a rainy afternoon you can go in there and browse through books and actually pick up books and touch them. And
you mean like a physical book?
A physical book, and not something that you're trying to read about online.
Yes.
Yeah. So help out those local independent bookstores.
Great. You are listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. We're going to break here, and we'll be back with you in a couple of minutes. Coming up next on Open Air, we'll be continuing our conversation on conscious, compassionate awareness and taking your calls. Phone lines are open here, so give us a call, and we'll be back with you in a couple of minutes. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Sherry, we have another caller.
Very good.
I'd like to welcome Dave from Dallas. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Sherry. How are you?
I'm well, and you?
I'm doing fine. I was reading your book about parenting, and I found it very helpful. But there are some things that I need clarification. You talked about when there's a need that is not met, then the child gets traumatized and develops like sub-personalities to survive.
Yes.
So I don't want that. I don't want traumatized or anything. But with my child, I realize that there are so many needs, so many things, you know, kind of instant by instant that
yes.
come up. I cannot say yes to everything. I
no.
cannot be impeccable.
No, and of course saying yes to everything wouldn't necessarily avoid trauma.
No, what I meant is not saying yes, but just fulfilling the needs.
Right.
So yeah. I'm kind of, I don't know if I'm taking this the wrong way, and I'm, you know, worrying that I'm doing something wrong, because sometimes they are like crisis, you know, that I cannot do anything, and he will start kicking and screaming and this and that, and I just cannot fulfill that need, or so I don't know what to.
Right. Well, here's the, I'll give you my favorite, one of my favorite quotes of all time, came actually from a Gestalt therapist who said, the given is you're going to screw up your kids, so do it in the way that's most comfortable for you. Okay? And now, you know, that can be sort of horrifying thing for parents to consider. But on the other hand, I think there's a lot of wisdom in that. It's recognizing that when this child is grown, he's going to have a list of things that his parents did wrong. And some of those things you may have done, and some of those things you may not have done. But it's going to be his life experience.
Yes.
Okay? And then he's going to have to deal with that. He's going to have to, call in Open Air and talk to whoever's doing the show at that point. Go to therapy, however he works through that. And for most of us, those kinds of difficulties from our childhood, or traumas or horrors or however bad it is, are the things that cause us kind of to start to want to wake up and know what's going on and take responsibility for ourselves and begin to move away from suffering and toward freedom. So I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing that children have the childhood experiences that they have. I think what's really helpful for a child is to have a parent who is as conscious as he can be, who is trying very hard to do the right thing, who's very concerned about the child, and is seeking wisdom for himself. Okay, because that's a role model that every child needs to have. Because we're all going to, if we believe in mistakes, we're all going to make them throughout our lives. Okay, now I personally don't believe in mistakes, but a lot of people do. And even though I don't believe in mistakes, I do a lot of things that are not skillful, that if I had rewind, I might rewind and choose to do it differently. But I see every moment of life as an opportunity, and most of it is an opportunity to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so that we can bring compassion to the moment in suffering. So if this child grows up with a dad who is attempting to be as conscious, as compassionate, as present, and as loving as a human being can be, not that he is achieving it, not that he is perfectly that, but that that's his attempt, then this is going to result in a relationship that will assist the child to go beyond whatever difficulties he's encountered in growing up, to free himself of those and go on to be a great and loving parent himself one day.
Wow. That's very well put. Speaking of my own path, since I'm trying to take it from that perspective, I do practice meditation, and sometimes I wonder, you know, I try to be present with feelings and notice them without acting on them, or if I act, it's a conscious decision. And I wonder, you know, as I try to be more present, what role memory plays?
Uh-huh.
Because there are things that come up. That, I mean, I'm, you know, doing my daily routines, my daily things, and I try to be, you know, present, but there are things that are not, let's say, coming from the outside. It's just coming from the inside, and they're just memories that come, and that bring feelings and all that.
Yes.
And I wonder how to deal with that, because it's going to be there, memories.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I am a great supporter of honesty, and of to the degree that we can, surrounding ourselves with people who are open to information about what's going on with us. And I think that one of the best things we can do for our children is to be casually honest about what's going on with us, so that children have a glimpse of the internal processing of adults. So, for instance, you know, you're driving along in the car, and there's your, you know, your child in the car, and something happens, and it, you know, it causes you to be really afraid, and then maybe you get angry as a result of that, and you can see your father in that situation reacting with anger and scaring you as a result of his anger, perhaps, okay? And instead of just watching all that go on and then try to stuff the emotion so that the child is sitting there knowing that something is going on but not being able to figure out what it is, except, you know, dad is suddenly acting really odd, and it's, you know, it's confusing. If you were just to say, wow, that was really scary, and often I realize that I react to fear by getting angry, and I got that from my father. He was the same way, and what I'm trying to learn to do with that, you know, and it's casual. It's not delivered like a sermon. It's just, it's casual. Just like, well, you know, in our family, we always ate sauerkraut. And so, boy, every Christmas, my mouth just starts watering for sauerkraut. You know, that's the kind of thing we would say to a child. Or, you know, your grandmother always cooked the most god-awful fruitcake at the holiday, you know. And it's that same sort of just casual letting the child see what's going on right now and how that fits into a larger context. And then as he grows up, he will just simply have a habit of doing that because that's the world that he grows up in. It's like the difference between adults saying please and thank you and excuse me to a child and raising a child who automatically says please, thank you, and excuse me, as compared to the parents who don't say that to the child or to each other, and then try to make the child say please or thank you at the right time. You know, choice number one works, choice number two never does.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's good, you know, it's a good opportunity for you to really process out loud, and it's a good opportunity for him to get that insight into what it means to be a grown-up.
Right. Do I have time for another question?
Sure.
All right. I was the one that sent you an email back, I don't know, some time ago, about regret, like health. Is there such a thing as a healthy regret?
And I bet I said, uh-uh.
Right. You said no, and no, there's no such a thing, and this and that confused me even further, because maybe you were confusing, I wonder if you were confusing what I was saying, because you thought I'm just beating myself up with something, all right? Let's say I've done something awful, harmful, I know it was harmful, long way, you know, in the past. And it's not, I'm not beating myself up, but I have a memory. So every time, for some reason, that I did or happened comes back, I feel regret.
Yeah, in the sense that it would have been nice if that had never happened.
Right.
Now, I'm going to suggest that an alternative to that is this. Did you learn something from that experience?
Oh, yeah.
okay, then I'm going to suggest that a more appropriate response would be gratitude.
Gratitude.
That as painful as it is, you were transformed by that experience.
Right, but the person receiving the harm, I don't know how did it go with that person.
Well, you know, have you ever in your lifetime experienced disappointment or loss or betrayal or deception at the hands of somebody else?
Yeah.
And do you feel that that was something that permanently scarred you or helped you to grow?
The second one, I would have to say.
Yeah, and I'll bet you that the person involved with you had the same experience.
Yeah, although there are some things that I haven't yet, I think, quite processed them.
That's right. And
so they're still scaring me.
That's right. So we want to hop on working through these things as quickly as possible, right?
Right, but how, if we go with that kind of mentality, then it will be like, okay, I'm going to be harming people. I'm going to say, hey, you got to be thankful for what I'm doing.
Yeah, but if you go there, it's a difference between simply going along in unconsciousness, doing what you are karmically predisposed to do, and waking up as a result of that. So I do something to you, and I look in your eyes, and I can see the pain there, and I go, oh, my God, you know, I don't want to do that anymore. That's very different from, okay, this will be good for him. And with malice aforethought, as they say,
right,
I set out to do something. That's a very different situation.
I see.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Jerry. You're really guiding my life in big ways. You know, I'm reading and calling and emailing and
good.
It's really
good.
Helping.
Good. I'm very happy that that is the case.
All right.
Stay in touch.
Yes, I will.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Dave. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, two things struck me about that call. One is what he just said at the end there about participating and calling in and emailing, and, you know, it's invaluable. In my experience, to practice, I don't know how else I would do that other than participating.
Yeah, that's right. We need each other.
Yep.
Again, that's when the Buddha set this whole thing up. It was Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. There's enlightenment or awakening. There's the teachings and the things that we practice and the folks that we do it with.
Yeah.
And all three of those are equally important. We need one another. We need the community of people practicing together, supporting one another, and learning from one another, each of us playing whatever role we're playing with one another at any given time.
Yes.
It's critical.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The second thing I thought of as Dave was talking was I remember my father saying to me once, this is the first time I've been a parent. Or it was just really wonderful. It's just like, I don't know what I'm doing, but, you know, I'm open to it, and I'm willing, and I'm here.
Right. Yeah, what a great thing to say to a child.
Yeah.
Because that's not a conclusion a child is going to reach, you know. It's like, well, you've been a parent forever. You've been a parent all of my life, so, you know, you must really be good at this and know a lot. And, yeah, I mean, you're an expert. You're a god. So that kind of simple honesty with a child can be life-changing for the parent and the child.
Yes. Fabulous. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. We're at the end of this segment, and we'll be back with you in a couple of minutes. Coming up next on Open Air, we'll be continuing our conversation on conscious compassionate awareness. So keep it tuned here to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Welcome back. You are listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. And this is a call-in talk show, and we have another caller. I'd like to welcome Chris from San Francisco. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi,
Good
Sherry.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. So I'm calling to discuss an issue that I've discussed with you before that I've been practicing with for several years, and it's painful. There's a lot of confusion surrounding it and a lot of conditioning, and I've been wanting to make decisions around this issue from a place of, you know, conscious, compassionate awareness, and sometimes with all of the conditioning and the stories, it's very difficult to discern what, you know,
mm-hmm.
the voice is this a voice of conditioning that's talking to me right now, or is this awareness
right.
that I'm hearing? And I've heard you say in the past a couple of pointers, one being if the voice isn't speaking kindly, that it's probably conditioning,
mm-hmm.
and the second being a sense of urgency often indicates that conditioning is present. And those have been really helpful to me, and I'm just wondering if there's anything more you can say about that.
Well, along with the urgency, of course, there's fear
uh-huh.
and something wrong.
Right.
And loss, lack, and deprivation.
Right.
If any of those are present, we can know who it is, too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right. So if there's, you know, if those are not present, it's, you know, more of a sense of spaciousness and ease.
Yeah, and kind of a feeling of, if this, fine. If that, fine.
Right.
You know, I may have a preference, but, you know, I can be all right with it either way.
It's not going to kill me one way or the
That's
other.
That's right. Then we can guess we're getting pretty close to center. But when there's that, oh, my God, quality to it, then we know it's conditioning. And it's such an interesting and difficult place because we can know that, but when we are caught in it, it is so believable.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I find myself just kind of drifting from one side to the other. You know, it's like this kind of teeter-totter.
Yes.
And I'm stuck in the middle
yeah.
of it.
And at that point, of course, that's where I just toss it up in the air and say, you know, this.
Right.
And mostly just to watch what happens as a result.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of like, you know, you're not sure who your friends are and who your enemies are, and you just throw something out there.
Right.
And watch who does what.
Right, yeah. Right. And that can be challenging, of course, because there's this idea that there's a right decision and a wrong decision.
Yes.
And,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that, so just saying I'm going to make whatever decision and trust that there are no mistakes is, like, pretty directly challenging that idea.
Oh, yeah. And really practicing with, it doesn't matter what happens in my life. It matters how I am with me
right.
in those circumstances.
Right.
To me, as far as I can tell, that's all we're going for.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's become more and more clear to me that it's, you know, the process that I'm dealing with here, I deal with just about every other issue in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So, the content is almost irrelevant.
Yes, yes. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And it's true, as we catch on, as we step back and catch on to that process of content, you know, how conditioned mind brings in content to hook us, as we begin to see that as a process, first of all, as you mentioned, we see that it exists everywhere.
Uh-huh.
And of course, that's what makes life so confusing to people. Because,
right.
you know, conditioned mind says, well, what about this?
Right.
You know, and there you are, and you're, you know, what about that? Okay, I've got to figure that out, I've got to make, and then you're embroiled in that, and it says, well, yeah, but what about that?
Mm-hmm.
And because people can't see that it's the same process that's going on, it seems like there, you know, there are 100, 1,000 issues that I've got to resolve, and there's you know, there's a right way to do it and a wrong way. And if I do it the right way, then my life is going to work and I'm going to be happy. And if I do it the wrong way, it's not. And to just step back and say, you know, that's just a process that's going on. And the only thing that's going to matter is if I'm happy, I'm going to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, we can say it quickly in two or three or four sentences, but it's that's a lot of material to sift through.
Yeah. Yeah, that scenario you described is pretty familiar, I think, for myself and several other people in the world. It seems just hopeless to try to figure everything out and arrange all of the circumstances of my life so that they're great now, and not only great now, but so that I can maintain them being great. There's a lot of energy that goes into that.
Oh, yeah, and it's not possible.
Yeah.
So if we can step back to that point of saying, here's this guy, he's a great human being, he's doing the best that he can do. We're just going to embrace him in compassion, no matter what.
It sounds a lot simpler.
Yeah, yeah. And then he does that. Well, okay. Well, he's going to learn what he learns and see what he sees. And, mm-hmm. Yeah, but what if he does? Well, then he'll be over there doing that, and there'll be a lot to see over there too.
Yeah.
And it is. It's simple and it's peaceful, and there's no drama for ego to get hooked in with and take control of somebody's life.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've seen that it's not, you know, over the past few days, just since I did the workshop with you this last weekend, there was a lot of clarity and a lot of peace that came from that. And then there's these almost kind of like knee-jerk
yes.
reactions, almost like when you're falling asleep and your
yep.
body kind of twitches. As soon as I get to that place of peace, conditioning's just like, no!
Yeah. It's like being at the end of a bungee cord, right?
Right.
Fallen into this peaceful place, and then you hit the bottom and it just snaps you back.
Right.
And it's disorienting for a person, which
mm-hmm.
is what's supposed to happen.
Okay.
You're supposed to get disoriented. You know, forever, Zen, and I suppose Buddhism in general, has been called the religion of death because there's such an emphasis on preparing for the moment of death so
mm-hmm.
that, you know, you can go through that transition in a state of conscious awareness, conscious, compassionate awareness, rather than being thrown into fear and anxiety and unconsciousness
right.
and then coming to somewhere down the line having no idea what happened and being confused and disoriented.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, these experiences, like the one that you're describing, are sort of a preparation for that.
Right.
You know, you go into a workshop, you're there, you're seeing a lot, you come out, you have a sense of clarity and peace. You know, as you're walking through the door, you can know the bungee cord experience is waiting for me.
Right.
Because conditioned mind has to try to snap you back,
mm-hmm.
or it's out of
to maintain control.
That's
and
right.
it seems like there's a direct relationship between the depth of the clarity and peace experience and the intensity of the snapback.
Yes, I think you're exactly right.
And
so if we can stay conscious through that, I mean, that's huge. To stay
mm-hmm.
conscious through that snap that is designed to throw you into unconsciousness
right.
and allow conditioned mind to come in and get the upper hand again. I mean, that's enormous.
Yay.
Yay. And here we are, conscious as far as we can tell.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Sherry.
Very good. Thank you, Chris. Take care.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Chris. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. That was a great call.
These people, these are some thoughty people. Not thoughty. That's not really. They're some aware people.
Aware, willing.
Yeah.
Courageous.
Yeah. All of that. Looking. We call them good lookers. You know.
Good lookers.
They're good lookers. You know, just looking at a really deep level and being willing to face what conditioning is going to throw at them as their reward. For messing around where conditioning doesn't want them to be messing around.
Yes.
It's impressive.
Yes, yes. And I find it really helpful what you were talking about with Chris in terms of having that clarity and awareness and realizing that, you know, conditioning is going to mm-hmm. come back. It's not like, you know, because it seems like the first few times I'm surprised by that.
Oh, absolutely.
And think I'm doing something wrong, or
yeah.
what is this awareness
okay,
stuff?
Okay, maybe I wasn't as clear as I thought I was.
Now I'm feeling awful. This isn't a good idea.
Yeah. So, you know, I'll often tell people that the fastest way to get into a bout of self-hatred is to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Happy thought goes through, you know, gosh, I feel great. Self-hate is going to be about 15 seconds behind it. Now, the idea, of course, is not to become paranoid and never admit that you're happy or try to set up your life so that you're always miserable so that self-hate won't get you. It's this same bungee cord thing, you know, to just realize, I feel really great, and then watch for what conditioning does to try to pull you back into its evil little clutches again.
Yeah. Fascinating.
Yeah,
Fascinating.
it's really. I'm sure I've told you this, but there's a book that at this point I couldn't even tell you what it's about, but it's called The Master Game.
The Master Game.
The Master Game, and I think it's about awareness practice in some form or another, and that title to me is it just captures what we're doing. This is the master game. It trumps all other games that human beings can play. And if we realize that it is a game, then we can start having the attitude of mind that says, okay, all right, if you're going to win a game, then you want to know exactly what the game is. You don't want to be over in the corner going, I don't want to know, I don't want to know, it's too hard, it's too painful, I don't like it, it makes me feel stupid and bad. You know, you want to go out there and you're going to get some bumps and get knocked around a little bit. But sooner or later, you're going to get what all the rules are and all the little sneaky thises and thats, and you're going to get better and better and better and better and better at the game. And pretty soon, conditioned mind cannot throw anything at you that you are not able to triumph over.
Yeah, and it seems great to me to see it as a game. To me, it makes it all less personal.
Oh, yeah. That's right. It is a universal game. It is the game that human beings are born into, and we're somewhere on the board all the time. And there's no alternative, as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
You know, even if you're trying not to play the game, you're in the game.
Yeah.
You're just not doing that well.
Yes. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. We're at the end of our hour here. Thank you, Sherry. Flew by once again.
Next week?
Next week. Let's do it again.
Let's do it. All right.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.